Our Bible passage for today's service will be found in the first book of Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I begin to read from the 13th verse. Brothers, we do not want to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Felix. And now Mike is going to come and tell us what that all means. Thank you.
Phone. Well, good morning. Warm welcome from myself to everyone here and to those on Zoom as well. Do keep your Bibles open in 1 Thessalonians, because that is where we will be for the next little while. But as ever, we need God's help, don't we? So let's pray as we come to his word. Father God, thank you that we could hear you speak, hear your words, as Felix just read from 1 Thessalonians just then. And Father, as we spend some time now thinking about them, dwelling on them, help us to hear afresh so we live for you, to your glory more thoroughly this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we continue our journey through 1 Thessalonians. It's a church that Paul had planted. He visited the city of Thessalonica months earlier, and he had spent just 3 short weeks with them before he'd been booted out of the city. And here is Paul. He's writing to this baby church, and all the way back in chapter 1, we saw how he started off with the good news of the gospel and how it had changed those people in Thessalonica, how it changed those baby Christians, so they were a shining light for Jesus in that area. Paul then went on to remind them how he had shared the gospel with them and just how much these Christians meant to the Apostle Paul. And then we hit chapter 4 last week. And here Paul gets immensely practical as he looked at the bedroom, at work, and at today as we look at death. Or to put it another way, at the making of life, working life, and end of life. You see, knowing Jesus at one level is all about knowing and loving our Heavenly Father and following his Son. But as we think about it, sometimes it feels so otherworldly, doesn't it? If you just turn back to chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10. Chapter 1, verse 9. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Turning to God, waiting for Jesus to rescue us. Wonderfully, wonderfully true. But it can seem like a million miles away from everyday life. Well, chapter 4 shows us just how relevant today, in our lives right now, Jesus is. Because making life, working life, and end of life, well, They're huge parts of life, aren't they? But it's actually there back in chapter 1 and verse 9, because actually in verse 9, he talks also about serving the living and true God. And therefore, Paul today is going to be fleshing out a little bit more what it means to serve God when it comes to death. So first of all, let's look at the problem that they had in Thessalonica. For my first point today, what happens when we die? Please look, turn back to chapter 4 and verses 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. The problem here in Thessalonica is that these baby Christians, they believed in the resurrection. They knew that Jesus rose from the dead. They knew that they were looking forward to life everlasting with Jesus. But they thought that Jesus was going to come back to earth any day, any month, to bring in that everlasting kingdom. But Jesus hadn't come back yet. And someone in church had died. Now here, sleep, it definitely means death. People use the word sleep like people use passing away today. And these deaths that had happened in the church, they've thrown people into confusion. Would those people, those Christians who are now dead, would they be part of Jesus' everlasting kingdom? The Apostle Paul was no longer with them to answer their questions. Remember, they'd only had 3 weeks with the Apostle Paul before he'd been booted out. They hadn't covered this bit yet. And they were seriously worried that these now dead Christians might not be with Jesus forever when Jesus returns. Were they going to miss out on eternity because they died before Jesus came back? Now, for us sat here 2,000 years later, I don't think that's a particular concern of ours, is it? Because time has passed and we sort of got used to the idea that, crikey, there's going to be lots of Christians who won't be with Jesus if we had to be alive when Jesus comes back. But for them, it was a very real question. So real that they mourned for these dead Christians as if there was no hope. No hope that they would see them again. No hope that they would be with Jesus forever. And therefore, they were devastated. So close, but yet so far is what they thought. But Paul wants to reassure them, because he reassures them by the fact that when Jesus returns, it will be for all people, whether dead or alive, if they knew and know Jesus. Because here, Paul, he wants to give the Christians in Thessalonica and us some information. So they are no longer, what does he say? Uninformed. So please look with me at verse 15. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and with the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. In verse 15, we know that this is the Lord's teaching. It's direct from the Lord. Now, whether that's because Jesus taught the apostles and that was passed on to Paul, or whether Paul found it out on the Damascus Road, we don't know. But we know it came from Jesus. And we get told here some very important aspects of Jesus' return. First of all, when Jesus comes back, Christians who are alive at that point and Christians who have already died will be included in the final resurrection. This is Paul saying to them, these dead Christians who have died recently, they won't miss out. And if you die before Jesus comes back, you won't miss out. And the same for us. It's nearly 2,000 years since Jesus ascended to heaven. You Christians here at Cornerstone this morning, we won't miss out. And then verse 16. Well, when Jesus comes back, there's going to be no missing it. Jesus himself will come, or there'll be an angel, but not just any old angel shouting out loud, but it'll be the archangel. The word of command here could be used by the person driving a chariot, and they shout at the horses, or a hunter to his hounds, or the ship's master to the rowers. It's a command, a forceful command. And then the trumpet of God will sound. Do we get the point? This will be no quiet birth in Bethlehem. Now, to be fair, when Jesus first came, it wasn't that quiet. There was an angelic choir, wasn't there? But it was a local affair. But when Jesus comes back the second time, we won't need BBC News 24 to get the word out. When Jesus comes back, the whole world will know. And then verse 17. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Alive Christians, Christians who once were dead, are now alive together and are brought together to meet Jesus. I just love those four words. To meet the Lord. This is what heaven is all about, isn't it? Yes, elsewhere the Bible describes heaven as a party, as a place of no more pain, of no more death, of tears, and lots of other great things. But this is the biggie. To meet Jesus. Face to face. To see him. To look into his eyes. I don't know about you, but I suspect I'll be speechless at that point, which I know would be a miracle. I get that. To meet the Lord. Let's just pause here for a moment and just clear a couple of things up, though. Because this does raise questions of what happens when we die now as a Christian before Jesus comes back. Well, it's clear, isn't it, that our bodies stay here. We see that with our own eyes when someone is buried or whatever and buried in the ground. But at the same time, as we know, Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The Apostle Paul, he talks about elsewhere in Philippians about wanting to stay on earth to serve Jesus' people, but wanting to go to be with Jesus today. So as we put this together, it seems like when a Christian dies, their body stays here, but their soul goes to be with Jesus straight away. They will rejoice in his presence in heaven. But when Jesus comes back, body and souls will be reunited for dead Christians, and we'll meet Jesus again, but as we truly are, because we're meant to be physical and spiritual together. Where, you know, I mean, the separation is just a temporary thing. Physical people, body and soul reunited to meet Jesus for the rest of eternity. Christ's second coming to earth will be a momentous event. But it is something I sometimes fear that the church, generally speaking, can be a bit embarrassed about talking about Jesus' return. I mean, of trumpets sounding, of archangels shouting. It's all a bit out there, a bit too crazy. Perhaps even a bit awkward. Well, let's talk about things people will understand. I mean, people think it might be easy to talk about things that people understand or will accept. I mean, let's talk about how Jesus will improve our life today is so often the focus of church. But this is brilliant news. Jesus is coming back. Verse 13, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. When a Christian brother and sister dies, yes, there's still sadness, of course there is. We're going to miss them until we're reunited with them. But there is hope. Jesus is coming back. The final resurrection is real. We'll see them again. We'll see Jesus. This is massive. And it makes a huge difference today. I don't know about the number of funerals that I've taken where there's been very little evidence of Christian faith in the person who's died. But poems are read out by the family members, talking about them now being a star in heaven looking down on them. Even as they read it, I'm not even sure they believe it. But they read it anyway, grasping at straws. Hopelessness. And this hopelessness shows itself in other ways. Apparently, if you have a spare £100,000, you can organise for your body to be frozen when you die, in the hope that science in the future will cure whatever killed you, and they can defrost your body and sort of jumpstart you and get you going and solve the disease, heal you of the disease that killed you in the first place. Real money is spent by real people on this type of thing. If you're a bit short, freezing your head is cheaper. These people have no hope. It's pie in the sky. Christians, though, are trusting in a guy who, verse 14, but we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Christians are not trusting in some future sci-fi possibility of defrosting our bodies. We're trusting in the guy who's been there and got the t-shirt. He died and beat death. And let's be upfront about this. COVID in the last 12 months has got people in general more used to sadly about death generally, because so many people have sadly died, but also talking about death. But outside of COVID times, beforehand, people would avoid talking about death as much as possible. And I guess once this pandemic is over, I expect hiding from death will become the norm again. And for Christians, we don't rejoice in death, but we don't hide from it either. We're not scared silly of it, because we know death isn't the end. We know the future is bright, not because it's orange, but because of Jesus. And this final resurrection, it's for Jesus' people, isn't it? It's in verse 14. Belief in Jesus is key. It's through Jesus that this final resurrection will happen. Yes, it has implications for those who don't believe, but that isn't where God's word takes us today. Instead, he finishes on verse 18, and my final point this morning, verse 18. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Encourage each other. Jesus is coming back. We'll meet him one day. And as verse 17 tells us, it's going to last forever. Now, many of you will have heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it again, because this is what I think God is clearly saying from the Bible this morning. We need each other to help us remember that Jesus is coming back one day. And we'll be there. And Jesus will be there. And it will be brilliant. It's so easy, isn't it, to get wrapped up in our everyday problems that so easily dominate our thinking, our energy, our times, even our prayers. Now, God doesn't want us to pretend that these things don't exist or don't matter. They matter to him, and they should matter to us. But once our daily struggles and concerns become less like giant monsters that dominate our thoughts, and become more like a little yapping dog, which is sometimes just a bit annoying, if meeting Jesus was more firmly in our hearts and minds, of course they would. And here's the thing. Verse 18 doesn't say encourage yourself. It says encourage each other with these words. Jesus is coming back. Hooray! Now, we don't need to turn every single conversation we have into, hey, Jesus is coming back. You know, I mean, that would just be weird, wouldn't it? But how often do we seriously mention in some sort of appropriate way that Jesus is coming back and that we're going to have everlasting life with him to each other? Seriously, I don't think it happens that much, does it? I know if I look at the way I talk, it doesn't happen that much. Let's make it a topic of prayer. Lord, help us to see how we can encourage each other in Jesus' return. Even when might it be appropriate to talk to a non-believer as well? How could you turn the fact that we've heard this sermon this morning into an opportunity to encourage someone else in this coming week? Be encouraged yourself, yes. And I really hope and pray that you are encouraged yourself. Jesus' return is fantastic news. But this is actually, first and foremost, about serving others. Verse 18 as we close. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Let's pray. Father God, we sit here this morning. We know Jesus is coming back. We knew that before we heard this sermon, before we read 1 Thessalonians. But you know how we need to hear it time and time again. We thank you and praise you. We look forward to that day when we meet Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, come, we pray. And in the meantime, Father, we ask that you would help us. May your spirit help us to let Jesus' return dominate our lives much more than it does at the moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.